Well, we're going to be teaching again this morning, and I titled this sort of the series we're doing through here is A New Level of Believing. And really, as we're talking about that, I'm not bringing out any kind of revelation, new revelation, or new something other. It's one of the things that I think has really hurt the church is everybody's always looking for a new revelation. The church don't need a new revelation. The church needs to walk in the revelation that it has. And this is really what we're doing, going back over things of foundation so you and I can walk in what God's prepared us to walk into and to live in. And it's really important because there's a lot of the church world as a whole is going through a lot of struggles and a lot of problems and things that are going on, things aren't going well. And, you know, from a national perspective, you know, you would listen to some, you know, ministers sometimes and are talking like, boy, everything is just absolutely great. But in the church world, United States, I mean, we have more church foreclosures. We have more ministers leaving the ministry now than we've ever had. And the average minister, even like when I was in Bible school, they'd say the average minister would only last at that time. Now, I want you to think, when I graduated Bible school, it was 1989. I don't know what it's at today, but four out of five ministers would only stay in the ministry about 5 years and leave. You know, so they're not staying, people ain't staying around in the ministry. And, if you're, it's all I got to say is if you're not saved, you'd have a hard time at it. And unless you're going to do this, like in some of them, and many are doing today, they just find out what people want and give them what they want. Keep people happy. Just give them what they want. Take the money and run, you know. But the whole thing of it is what we need to do is we as believers is get back in back on track again. You know, I think about when I came into the kingdom, you know, and the charismatic renewal and all that was going on and that stuff. The move of God that was taking place at that time, it wasn't taking place because people had all kind of knowledge in the Word of God. But there's one thing as I noticed about many people back in that period of time, they just walked in the light of what they had. And it's amazing all the things that God did. Today, we got all this people out here and they got all these wisdom and everybody's got a new revelation and we got to have a new book out and everybody's got a new this and a new that. And if it was anything new or it was anything any good, this is what Kenneth Hagin said. You take anything that somebody calls a new revelation or you knew this or knew that or the latest book that's going to revolutionize things. And he said, you just give it time and see what happens to it. He said, what most of it does, it just fades away and dies and then you don't hear nothing about it again. And that's what we got loads of it all the time going on in the church. They got this new revelation and then you do that. People go do this or go do that. Or, you know, this thing, and everybody gets hyped on that. There's one thing about the Word of God, and it's just like in regular life, you know? You know, in regular life, as you grew up, you learned things and how to, you know, what you had to do in life, you know? And to survive and to make it in this life, what you do. And, eventually coming along, you learn how to, you know, if you can't cook, you sure want to find somebody that can because it's good to eat. You enjoy that. But you have these things in life that you must do. You must sleep. You must do different things. You're working in life. You got to get up morning out of bed. The church world is really, to me, is amazes me as one of the most ignorant people. Because when it comes to Christianity, it's like they throw a switch in their brain and turn 90% of it off. And then they don't operate. You realize, you know, you don't get a new revelation of something and then you just forget all the other stuff you know and just run off and do it. But that's what the church does. They get a new revelation and all it is fads. They get a new fad. You know, the things that I learned in the beginning, the foundational principles, you can never leave them. You got to always walk in them all the time. You can't leave it for a new revelation. And this is what the church has become, a fad. And God never intended that. You know, they'll get somebody comes along with something new and that becomes the focus of everything. And everybody's jumping on board in this thing and they're leaving all the other stuff that you got to do in life. You know, it's like the guy, you know, you get a new revelation in life and then all of a sudden you don't get up and go to work anymore. Well, there's good, you're going to get hungry after a while. Your bills ain't going to get paid. You still have to do those things. You still have to, there's things that you have to do in life. And we need to know in Christianity, you don't want to ever leave the foundational principles of the Word. Because to continue to do them, that's where success lies. I can say this, my success in my own personal life and walking with God has been on foundational principles, not looking for new stuff. You know, I didn't invent the foundational principles of the Word. I learned them from other people. People are out here today always trying to get a new revelation. Man, I'll tell you what, I'm just trying to live the old ones. I'm trying to walk in line and learn to be, you know, do it better about walking in the foundational principles. And I found this out. The better you get at it, the more you succeed and the less complicated life becomes. You know, my parents taught us as growing up some foundational, good foundational principles about life, about being honest, about doing things as, you know, working, doing your jobs and doing things like that, made us responsible of things. Those were just good things in life to do. And as I learned, as I went along and became to be more responsible in those areas to do them, life got better for me. And life, you know, worked on. It's one of the big things today why many people, and even Christians, don't have good lives. It's because they don't stay into good foundational things even in their own life. They don't live them. You know, they gave up being honest. They gave up being, you know, trustworthy. You know, Christians will just as soon not pay off a debt as anybody else would. Christians ain't any better at it than anybody else. Go ask the bankers. People claim to be Christians will cheat you as quick. Well, you know, if I don't think I can do it, then I just walk off from it. Give your word, sign your name to something, and walk off from it. We don't do those things. We don't do that kind of stuff. Integrity, that's what makes success in life. You need to understand this. If your word is no good, you don't have faith. Faith is about your words. Faith's about your words. You need to understand that. Faith's about your words. If my words are not good, then there's a problem. That's why we always keep our words good. And see, those foundations are put in there. Now, we're looking at a foundation. This is back in 1953 when Jesus appeared to Kenneth E. Hagin. And we read some of the things. I'm not going to read all of it. He gave him four principles that Jesus told him when he revealed in 1953. He saw him in a vision, and Jesus gave him really a basic was a teaching. And it's a foundational teaching, because as we go on, we're going to look at it, understand it. When we talk about foundational teachings, we're not just talking about New Testament. The foundational teachings and stuff, you can go back in the Old Testament and find the foundational teachings were all through the Old Testament. Faith has not changed. Faith is not a subject of the New Testament. Faith was in the Old Testament, and it operated exactly the same way. It was no difference to it. It operated. So we can go back and look people of the past, and you can see how they operated in it. And so when we take this principle here, Kenneth Hagin, Jesus appeared to him and laid out these principles of faith. And the four principles that we're looking at and we were dealing with last week, we started with say it, do it, receive it, and tell it, dealing with the areas of faith. But this is what Jesus made this statement to Kenneth E. Hagin about this teaching he gave him. He said, if anybody anywhere will take these four steps or these four principles and put these four principles into operation, he will always receive what he wants from me or God the Father. What a statement. What an absolute statement. He said, you'll always. See, that throws out that things, and we talked about it last week, when people say sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says wait, sometimes he says it. Jesus Christ. Now we have to decide, did Kenneth Hagin hear that, or was it just, you know, he was up and had too much pizza and, you know, wasn't sleeping good or something, and he had a pizza vision or dream? We have to decide, is this thing true or not? Well, it's number one, I know that these principles will work. If you work them, I know at times that I didn't work them well and it didn't work, but I also learned this. Kenneth Hagin had one of those little mini books, and it was called Don't Blame God. Every Christian ought to have one of those. Every Christian ought to have one of those books, Don't Blame God, and read it often. Because what happens is this, is I found out this really helped, because that was one of the first mini books I ever got of him. And in fact, I probably wasn't even a Christian more than a few months when I got that book. And it said, don't blame God. And that really helped me, because I learned immediately, if things weren't working, it's never God's fault. What I had to do was find out, how's God doing it? How's he working? What's he at to? Because he's never out here not trying to bless me. He's never out there. What happens is either I don't understand some certain things. Sometimes I may not be obeying certain things. You know, you can have different reasons for it. But I need to find out where I'm missing it. And that hugely helped me. Over the years, I have had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Christians over the years come to me and say, I don't understand why God, and as soon as they say that, I know exactly where they're coming from. God, they think, is their problem. Now they're talking about being in faith. And if you talk to them and tell them they have a faith problem, they get mad at you. That's the first thing they do. Because I couldn't be wrong. Now God has to be wrong. It couldn't be me. Now if you told them they were talking that way, they would say, no, I'm not. That's exactly what they're doing. They're viewing God as the problem. There's some reason that God's holding out on me. Well, look, I found out God doesn't hold out on me. And see, you, however your view or your picture of God is really going to put you over or put you under. Is God holding out on you? No, He doesn't. You know, I held out on things, but God has never done that. So I found when I got into line with God, things got hooked up. But I love the fact He said, if anybody anywhere, and we said that last week, are we anybody's anywhere? We're anybody anywhere. So we qualify in this thing. I love it. Everybody qualifies. So nobody can say as well, you know, that was for Oral Roberts, or maybe that was Billy Graham. He could get that, but you know, no, maybe me. No, he said anybody anywhere, if they'll take these four steps or these four principles, put these four principles into operation, he will always receive what he wants from me or God the Father. I love that. I love that. Well, he went through and Kenneth Hagin made a few other statements, and then Jesus talked to him about these principles when he asked him about victory in life. And he said this, Jesus made this statement, he continued, concerning people and getting victory and overcoming. He says he continued in Jesus' words, if they don't do it, it won't be done. It would be a waste of time for them to pray to me to give them the victory. He said it'd be a waste of time. They have to write their own ticket. And see, that's where that little mini book, Write Your Own Ticket with God. You have to write your own ticket. In other words, you know, our success is in our hands. The most wonderful thing God ever did for you folks here, the most wonderful thing He ever did, He put your success in your hands, not in His. He will back up your success. That's what He does. He backs up His people. But understand this, our success is in our hands. I mean, isn't it a wonderful thing? You know, I don't know about you. See, what you might want in life is different than I want in life. You know, God ain't this cookie cutter and everybody's out of the same mold. Oh, when I first came into Christianity, there were some people off on that thing. They were trying to make everybody had to be the same and everybody, and I used to, oh, that'd make me puke. You know, you get around those people and what they're doing, trying to control everybody else. If God's called me to do something, you got to do what I'm doing. You got to, you know, and it's like, oh, getting around them was a pain. Oh my God. And what they're doing, trying to make, and it's not that way, you know. You know, some people are, you know, some guy wants to drive a Rolls Royce. You know, I can truly say this. If I had the money right now for a Rolls Royce, I don't know if I'd buy it. I don't know. That's not me. But you know what? Some guy might enjoy that. Some lady might like to ride around in Rolls Royce. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, dear Lord, God ain't upset. I mean, His streets are gold. You ought to have something decent to drive on it. I mean, dear Lord, the whole thing of it is, in life, there's different things that different people enjoy. See, God will supply all of your need. What do you need? What I need can be completely different on my approach to life and the things that I desire or I want, what I want to do. And so you need to understand in that indifference, you know, today, you know, a lot of people are trying to say, you know, well, you know, some guy out here can have loads of money. I was in sales years ago, went to a guy's house and we were selling siding, roofing and all kind of stuff to do the outside of windows, all this kind of stuff. And we were selling these. And so I went to a guy's place and you went to his house and this guy had lived in this house many, many years. And it was pretty sad looking on the outside. And you look at this house, this guy wasn't, you could tell over the years, you know, wasn't kept painted. It wasn't because you could just tell by the wood, you know, how it gets dark when it goes of years of not painted, when there's places that the paint gets off. And you could just tell that. You could look around, see the windows weren't maintained and kind of stuff and things. And, you know, the roof and stuff. I mean, he wasn't like Mr. Repair, you know, with a little patchwork here, a little patchwork there. But we went to this guy. Now you look at him and see, this is most people look at him and say, man, you know, what is this guy money-wise? Well, one of the things that you always wanted to do, if somebody wanted a job done and they wanted pretty much, it ends up to be pretty much money, you don't want to take them at their word about the money. You always want to make sure that they can get the money. Either they can borrow it, stuff. So you don't, one of the things that you'd always check up front, because it was a big amount of money, is do they have it available? And you'd either talk to their bank or whoever they say they're getting the money from. You talk to them specifically because you don't want to go start a job. And so this guy, he come along. He wanted windows. He wanted siding. He wanted roofing. He wanted all this stuff. And you're sitting there looking. And I mean, out front, I mean, his car was okay, but it wasn't a newer one. And it was, you know, not fancy, anything like that. Well, so I go call the bank. He always said, just call the bank. And I called the bank. And I, you know, told him, you know, who we were and what we're doing. This guy, he wants this work done in his house. And the guy said, he can have anything he wants. He said, he could pay for anything you could offer him. Well, see, you wouldn't think so as looking, you know, at his man and what's on the outside. And this is one of the things. His desires in life maybe weren't like everybody else's. You know, that's his business. You know, today it's all, you know, in the cookie cutter. You know, there's loads of Christians out here walking around looking like they're prosperous, but they're not. They're not prosperous. They know how to put the front on. We know that. I'm going to tell you, there's so-called prosperous churches that have gone under, some big ones. In the last few years, have gone under in America. Some big stuff has shut down. Wow, they were so prosperous they couldn't pay off their debts. Oh, they dressed and looked like they were all, woo, we're going somewhere. But they weren't. They're trying to put on an image. Folks, we're not trying to put on an image. God wants to bless you and do things for you. And we want to follow God's plan. Now, we're going to go over to Mark, the 5th chapter. This is the scriptures that Jesus Christ used himself, which I think we don't have to change the pattern. He used himself to explain to Kenneth Hagin this principle showing in scripture. And we're going to eventually look at other scriptures from the old people in the Old Testament who use this pattern and on up through, so we can see that it's not just one place in the Bible and that's it. In Mark the 5th chapter, in verse 25, there was the woman with a flow of blood. It says, it goes in verse 25, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. And the first principle that Jesus had given was the fact of to say it. She said something. And we talked about it last week, but I've been really sort of having trouble getting off this saying it stuff because it is so important. Because understand this about what faith does. Faith is reaching out to something future, really, that you want. See, you might want to be healed today, but you don't have it right now. So really, your faith is speaking out toward the future of something that you want. And this is one of the things of saying is so important. Your speech really governs a lot about your life. What you say. It governs a lot about how you feel. It governs a lot about your view of the future and whatever else is going on is how you see yourself of what you say. And it is so important about what we say. See, I've learned over the years is concerning faith, is using faith toward my future to begin to speak my future success. Even like if I wasn't at a place spiritually to take a hold of certain things, I am speaking them, preparing myself to arrive at that point. You need to do that. You need to, that. Your voice does that. Your voice will do that. You'll either say, you know, well, I don't see how I'm ever going to do that. Do you have a desire to do it? Yeah, but I don't see how we're ever going to do it. You don't have to see how you're going to do it. You start to speak to that future. You start to speak to that future. See, I learned to do that. Oh, there's certain things that I, you know, would want to do. And so, you know, I learned over the years is it's just like the car that I drive now. I went and did the thing about a year before I bought that car. What I did, see, I didn't want to borrow a whole bunch of money or anything for a car. But what I did is about a year ahead, I started saying I was going to get a minivan because, you know, the grandkids and hauling people. And I never drove minivan before. I never saw myself as a minivan driver. But you know, great-grandkids will change your life. But anyhow, so what I did is I started saying, I'm going to buy a minivan. See, I put my faith out. I started speaking the words to the future. See, most people, here's what they're going to say. I'd like to have a minivan. Do you know there's no faith in that at all? I don't care what you'd like to have. That's not, All you told me is you have a desire. But that desire don't mean it's coming to pass. I began to say, I'm going to buy one. I didn't have the money to buy one. I didn't have the money to buy one. But I started saying it. I started speaking that out. And you know what? The next year, money came. Because I decided then, when it started coming around the springtime, we're buying a minivan. Now see, what I did is I put my voice out first. I started something operating in the realm of the Spirit. Most people don't start anything operating in the Spirit till they get to the point that they want to do something. Then they start speaking things. No, you start putting your voice out there. This woman, before she ever got to Jesus, she had already said, if I go out there and just touch his garment, I'm going to get well. She put something out ahead. She's on a mission. This girl is on a mission. She's going to get something. And so learn to do that. Learn to speak out there. You know, with business or whatever it is, learn to speak out there about things, how you want your business to be, the prosperity of your business. I remember you guys, remember we had here for a long time Richard Spangler. Richard Spangler worked for Bethlehem Steel. And before Bethlehem Steel closed down, he was in management there, and they had a lot of problems over the years there and that stuff and sales and that stuff. And to keep the doors open, he wanted to finish out so he could retire, smart man. So what he did was they come along and they said they just don't have sales and things keep going like they are. They're going to close down. He started calling sales in. He started speaking words about sales. He went and told his sales manager. He went and told him, don't worry about it. Sales are coming in. Within a month's time, they started having sales. They started having so much coming in, they couldn't handle them. They had so much stuff start to come in. See, he spoke something out there. He said something. He didn't say, well, I'm praying and believing God. You know, most time people think they're talking faith. If you don't understand or you don't know how faith talks, you're going to always have trouble with faith. I can listen to a person talk and tell you whether they're in faith or not. I don't need a degree. You can tell by their voice what they're saying. They're saying, I'm praying and believing. Well, if you're believing, what are you praying about? You acting like calling to God like it ain't happening? What are you doing? See, we have all these nice religious cliches that are said in the church that ain't nothing but full of unbelief, and it closes the doors on people. Hebig said, hey, we're having sales coming in. This is what we're getting. And see, we need to learn to do these. These are powerful things. You know, I've watched business people do that. I've heard guys and listened to stories. Years ago, I listened to a story of a guy who was a businessman. Seemed like he was going under and nobody could keep him going. But he kept listening to God and he kept talking about his success. Guy ended up making millions and millions and millions. But it didn't seem like he was going to, but he kept his voice out in front of him and kept speaking concerning his future. He didn't quit. He stayed over in the area. He didn't just rely on his ability. He relied on God. So do that. You know, God wants to bless the labor of your hand. Don't curse the labor of your hand. Don't curse where you're working. You're cursing the labor of your own hand. Don't curse them. I don't care if they're idiots. I'm going to succeed. I have worked for idiots and succeeded. I know it works. I've worked for people that got fired. They were in charge, but I was doing good and they got fired. You don't do it. You learn, you know, you talk your success. God's interested in your success and you succeed. This woman, Jesus Christ, now just think about this. Jesus could have picked anybody out of the Bible and he chose this lady. Glory to God. He talked to Kenneth Hagin about this lady. Why? Because she's moving in line with faith. She made a statement of faith. She said something. Hallelujah. And her said something is sure working. Glory to God. So really her first step really to her healing was the fact of her voice. So she didn't say, well, I hope I get down there and, you know, I hope I can get something. She wasn't talking that. She said, this is what's going to happen. If I get down there and I touch his garment, I'm going to get well. And we read scriptures where other people were healed that way. So it says she heard about Jesus. She must have heard about these other people doing this stuff. She heard that you could get down there and touch his garment, get well. And you know what? So look, she wasn't a theologian. She didn't have, 10 years of Greek to find to figure out how what it said in Greek. She just believed it, said it, and it worked. Now, We go on in the story. Now we're talking about doing it. Here's a real stickler for sometimes that people miss it. Sometimes people truly do believe what the Word of God says, and they truly say what God's Word says. Their believing's right and their saying's right, but here's where they miss it. It's in the doing. I just read, a guy's a good friend of mine, and I just read a newsletter he sent out. And he was talking about the areas of healing, and he said, oh, you don't have to do anything. You just have to believe God and say the word. I'm just sorry. There's always a doing. You're always going to have to act like what you believe is true. He said, there's no doing. And I thought, man, where's he coming from? He's a good friend of mine, Raymond graduate. What's he talking about? Telling people you don't have to do nothing. That's one of the greatest failures right now in the church. Loads of Christians in the spirit-filled world know what the Bible says about things, and they're saying it, but stuff ain't working for them. And is it the reason it is? Is because they quit doing. They're not doing what the Word says, and you got to do it. So we find here with this woman in doing it. See, when she heard about Jesus, she said she came behind in the crowd and touched his garment. In other words, she said something, and then she did what she said. She didn't say, you know, if I could just go touch him, I could get healed. Say, well, you're going to go down the crowd? No, that's too much work. I don't want to go down there. This is a bit difficult. And, you know, I just don't like crowds. I just don't like getting around people. And I know if I did that, that thing would work. I know it would work. Now, this may seem strange to you. You know how many people over the years told me things that they knew they'd work if they did them, but they never did them. And never got the blessing. Some people died prematurely, knew what to do and wouldn't do it, and then turned around and kept telling people they're in faith. This is what James, let's go over to the book of James, the second chapter. Let's go to James in the second chapter. Now, James in the second chapter, he's talking about doing. See, this woman, she did what she said. She acted on those words. Had she not done it? You know, it's just like if there's a light switch over here on the wall that would turn the lights on and off in here. I could say, if I go over there, I can flip that and turn the lights off. And you know, I want the lights off. But I never go over there and flip it off. Nothing ever happens. The lights never go off. They never go off. That woman, no matter what she believed, she had to act in line of it. Because really, she became the one who turned the switch on that made the things work. She did by what she did, by what she did. So, but in James said this. I'm going to read first verse 14. James says in the second chapter of James, verse 14, what does it profit, my brother? And he said, if anyone says he has faith but does not have works, he says, can faith save him? Now, I want to read you out of the Weymouth translation. I like Weymouth's translation on this. Verse 14, he says, what good is it, my brother, if a man professes to have faith and yet his actions do not correspond? Can such faith save him? I want to tell you this, emphatically, no, it cannot. You see, an individual can know and believe the right thing to do, but you got to do it. So, you know, I've heard people saying this all the time. This is what's said. You know, you want to be born again. It's the simplest thing. All you got to do is believe. That's not what the Scripture tells us. You got to make a confession. You got to do something. There's something you're told to do. You could believe that if you confess Jesus Christ as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you could believe that with your whole heart and not do it and go to hell. I know I worked with a guy at H.B. Reese Candy Company. And he said, you know, just in witnessing to him, he said, I know that I need to accept Jesus to go to, I know that, but I don't want to change my life. Now see, most Christians would call him a believer. He wasn't a believer. He believed what the Bible said, but he never became a believer because he never carried out faith. We understand, believing is not faith in itself. If believing was faith in itself, why is Jesus giving us these steps? We have all this stuff people call believe in faith. Believing's not faith. You can believe something and it don't become faith or put into action till you say it and start acting on it. It don't ever. I had a teaching. I did the three parts of faith. You believe, you start to say it, and then you act on it. That's the three parts of faith. We're going to find that that's what James taught. I'm sticking with James. Because we want to find out what else James said about this. We're dealing with the areas of doing. Now, go down to verse 18. James said on verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. He said, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Now, I want to go over again to Weymouth. Weymouth said, someone will say you have faith. He said, I have actions. Prove to me your faith apart from corresponding action, and I will prove mine to you by my actions. So you need to understand this. I don't wonder what all the complication is on the faith subject. It was one of the runners because there's a lot that isn't taught right. I thank God I had a good teacher, Kenneth E. Hagin. Had a good teacher on the subject of faith. But, you know, as people go out here and they say, well, you know, I'm believing God. And I watch their actions and what they're doing and the way they're talking and I think, I ain't believing a thing about God. They want something, but their actions don't correspond. I can tell what people are believing by what they're doing. I found it very difficult. When you get people that are taught all they have to do is just believe something, and that is, it becomes very difficult. I know over the years sometimes of dealing with a person, I remember one person specifically, is dying of cancer. Talking with them, trying to, oh yeah, I'm in faith believing. And every time you try to talk to them, why? Because their actions, they were always looking, trying to find a new therapy, a new kind of thing that they could do. They were never over in the area of trust or ever rest. They were never in that place of rest. And I knew, they ain't going to make it. They keep doing this. And every time you try to talk to them about it, they get real touchy about it. I'm believing God. Well, okay, then, you know. Because you don't want to stress them out. Things are bad enough. So I quit talking to them about it. I didn't talk to them about it no more. Because they didn't want to hear. I'm in faith. And I just knew this. I was going to be doing their funeral. I knew it. I knew I was going to be doing their funeral. So you know what I did? I started preparing for a funeral. That's what I did because I knew that's what's going to happen. Because you couldn't get them to move off the thing. Their actions weren't corresponding to believing. They're trying to run around. They're acting like they're not, that they've never received their healing. Mark 11:24 says you're supposed to believe you receive it, then you'll have it. When you believe you receive it, then you'll have it. Until you believe you received it, you ain't getting it from God. You're going to have to try something else. And see, they never did. So really, their actions weren't corresponding with faith. And really, what it was with that individual, it's the way they had been taught. And they, you know, they were taught certain things. And, well, I'm just right about it. Well, hold it. You know, I always listen to what Kenneth Hagin said. He said, if you're, say you're standing in faith, and, you know, years and years go by and nothing ever changes, he said, you better check out what on earth you're believing. Faith changes things. I'm not talking about everything's instantaneous. But faith will start to change things. And that's what you want to do. You know, you don't want to go out here, what proof do you have of your faith? You know, James said, I can prove I got faith. I can prove it. What I do, my actions correspond with my believing. Now, if we go down to verse 22 of that same chapter, it's talking about Abraham, and James is making mention of Abraham. And he says in verse 22, it says, do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect? Or it was perfected, matured, however you want to do it. Weymouth said this, you notice that his, or Abraham's faith, was cooperating with his actions. That by his actions, his faith was perfected. See, this is why the action part's so important. Why doing what you have confessed and said? Begin to act like it's true. You know, if you believe, you know, whether it's healing or finances, you believe you received it, get a smile on your face and act like you got something from God instead of, well, I can't wait till it shows up and then I'll get real tickled. I've had people ready after me and believing for something and I've had people say to me, well, you didn't seem very excited about that. I said, I was excited a long time ago when I received it. Well, they said, well, you just got it now. No, I didn't. I received that a long time ago. You know, I didn't get all excited the day that I bought my van. I didn't get all excited about it because I had already called that thing into existence a long time before that. So the day I got it, it wasn't, oh boy, look what God did. Oh boy. See, I can tell by people whether they were, many times God does things for people out of mercy. And they think they got it because of their faith. And he's just being merciful to them. I don't have to jump and shout when it shows up. I already knew it was going to show up. You know, last year I started saying concerning Wanda. I said, I'm going to buy Wanda a new car. I'm going to buy Wanda a new car. And I said, I'm not going to borrow any money. I started saying that. I didn't have the money to buy no car. Hallelujah. Well, we just bought her a car and repaid it in cash. Hallelujah. But you start speaking it out there. You start putting those things out there. You start saying them out there ahead of time. I didn't wait till the day all of a sudden Wanda's car, the tires fell off, and I said, oh my God, we need a car. We need to believe God. Hallelujah. So you start speaking things, start saying things, then you act like it's true. Hallelujah. I would say to people, you know, like I went and told Alyssa, listen, I'm going to buy Mom a new car. And I said that last year, I'm going to buy Mom a new car. I'm going to do that. I didn't say I'd like to buy Mom a new car. I said, I'm going to buy Mom a new car. I'm going to get her one. That's what I'm going to do. And see, you start speaking those things in, then I'd start acting like it's true. Now, how do you act like that's true? Here's what you start doing. You start looking at cars. You start going around, acting like you're going to buy a car. You start checking out what you'd like to get. See, this is most people. Oh, if the money shows up, then I'll go out here and then I'll start looking for a car. See, there's no actions to believe they got anything. I'm preparing to buy a car. So you got to learn to do this stuff. See, many people never put anything into action. They're sitting around, I'm waiting on God. I'll tell you, 99.9% of the time, people are not waiting on God. 99.9% of the time. Most of the time, most always, God is waiting on us. When am I going to write my ticket? When am I going to do it? When am I going to set this thing in motion? When am I going to start working so He can join me to bring it to pass? And see, I learned to do those things. You have to put things out ahead. Just like we've done it, and I've told you for years, we've done that with vacations. We didn't have money, you know, to go out to buy for the vacation we wanted to do. We just started ahead of time, and we're going to take a vacation. We go tell everybody we're going to take this vacation. We didn't have no money for that vacation. We tell everybody we're going. We'd start making plans of where we wanted to go, when we wanted to go. We started doing, see, our actions are corresponding to our faith. See, most people have nothing out there for their faith to produce. They're just saying, you know, to them too. I mean, you know, I'm believing God for a car. You know, I'm believing God for, you know, a car. Well, what kind of car do you want? You know, you might not want what I want, but what are you looking for? Are you willing to take anything that shows up? I'm believing God for a car. God could send you a piece of junk. The devil will. He'll send you a piece of junk, and many people take them. Well, this is what God wanted me to have. They say, no, this is what you took. This is what you did. You took that. Well, see, there was no actions out there of what you were going to do or what you were believing for or nothing. Where are you looking to? What do you want? See, this is what you have to find out. So you begin to speak things and start to talk things to put them in existence. Your actions are going to bring your faith to completion. See, many people out here, they truly do believe they're saying the right things. But their faith can't come to completion because the way they're acting doesn't correspond to what they say they believe. They don't action. I see people, you know, going on things of, you know, and over the years, prayer line, you pray for a person who needs healed, and you pray for them, and they walk away like they ain't got nothing. They're just as long-faced and just as like nothing happened. Well, see, their actions doesn't correspond. Their actions aren't, they don't believe they got anything there. Or if they felt something, you know, the lumbago went away instantly, then woo, woo, wah, wah, woo-hoo. But if that don't happen, they're just walking away, well, I don't know, I just know. See, their action don't correspond with faith. I don't care if I feel better or not. When I believe I receive it, I say I got it. Hallelujah. I thank God I got my healing. I'm not trying to get it. I got it. Hallelujah. And the Bible says if I believe I receive it, then I'll have it. Hallelujah. So I know it's going to run me down and get me. Hallelujah. I'm going to have it. That's the way it is. That's the way it works. It can't work any other way. That's God's system. And so you follow that system. And I really want to encourage you in these things. I spend a lot of time around on these because these are the areas that people really miss it concerning faith, and it's not taught well. It is not taught well at all out here. You know, they just keep telling you if you need money, what you need to do is keep giving more money. That ain't going to work. You can do that till you drop over, and you'll be like the woman with the issue of blood. You're going to give the doctors everything you have. There's many people have given the preacher everything that they have, the TV preacher, everything they got, and they have gotten no more blessed by it. Because the guy keeps telling, well, if you just keep giving me money, that ain't how you get money. I get money by my faith. I don't get money by giving my money. I get money by faith. The money that I call in, I got to call in what I want. I sure don't want what I gave. Because if I only get back what I gave, what good would that do me? They'll tell you, oh, no, yo, no. And it's just like I told you guys when the Lord said to me, you're not receiving at the level you give. You're not receiving. You gotta receive at a higher level. Well, in other words, who was that on? That was on me. That was on me. I was the one keeping. It wasn't God keeping anything from working. I was keeping it from working because I wasn't putting my faith out far enough for enough money. So you need to be careful about that. I believe in giving, love to give. I mean, this past year, Wanda and I gave over a quarter of our money, our income away. From our gross income, we gave away. We gave that money away, you know, and we're givers. I love to give, and I ain't going to quit giving. We're just going to give and give and give. I love to give. You know, it's my nature. I'm born again. I'm like God. I love to give. And so the giving part of it, that ain't go, you know, going away. But the receiving part for is on my hands, not because of my giving. Many people give and never receive back. You know, the minister says, but God said if you put $1,000 in an offering, he's going to do this. I would love to find out how many people that ever worked for in the audience. They never do give testimony. They'll bring one guy up when there's 10,000 did it in the meeting and they didn't get nothing. Why? I don't matter. If God told me that if I gave a certain amount, he's responsible to see it comes back, not my faith. I can only believe as far as my faith. If I got $2 faith and God tells me I can receive $1,000 back, I have to get to $1,000 faith to get that. That's my faith. That's your faith. If my faith can't reach it, you know, God will give you 100-fold. I'd like to see them do that. You know, they'll tell you, well, we gave $100,000 away. How come you didn't get 100-fold back on that? You preachers supposed to get 100-fold. How come you never do that? We'd have ministries today that teach this stuff. They should have trillions of dollars. You can't get back any further in your faith, folk. I ain't quite up to the $1 trillion mark. I ain't got there. And I know this, most people ain't got that kind of the $1 trillion mark. I'm a little bit below there in my faith. I know things that I can believe and things I can do, but I just want to say this. This is why people put you out there, and this is why some people never grow in faith. They keep listening to these preachers on how to get money into their pockets, and the preacher's not helping them get money in their pockets. You know, the greatest success of this church would be you get money. You get money. If you got money, you can give money, can't you? It's your success. It is the other side. This whole thing is how much the church can get. It ain't about how much the church can get. The church will get money if the people get blessed. And see, they're always about, you know, I just got a thing. It's being, give your best offering. Just God, give your best offering. You know, no, you listen to God, give what you can believe. You don't give with compulsion. Give your best offering. Well, I want to know, is he giving his best offering? I want to know that. Tell me how much you gave in it. Next time, put it in the letter or don't send it to me. What's your best offering? Isn't it amazing? I mean, they're telling us to give our best offering to them. I want to know what they're doing. You realize this? There's ministers out here and stuff and things that are on and telling people to give and stuff, and they don't even as much as tithe. And they're sitting up there telling people about giving and doing stuff and ain't a bunch of cheapskates and crooks. That's why you got to listen to heaven. You know, people talk about a personal relationship with God. I wish most of them would get one. But you want to hook up with God. See, God wants you blessed. It isn't so the preacher can just have a lot of stuff. It's for the people. You know, God wants me to do things because he wants me to be example to show you people how to do it. But it's not so the preacher has it and you don't. It's so you get blessed. You're blessed. You got your finances are good. You, and it's not enough to get you by. The mark is this. Paul said, so you have to give to every good work. In other words, you got enough that, you know, you can have a house to live in, you got good transportation, you got good stuff, and you have enough left over, you can give to every good work. I'm going to just tell you this, folks. I ain't got to there yet. till I have enough that I could give to every good work. So I know this, I haven't arrived to where God wants me to be, because there's things I would like to give to in much more abundance than I'm able now. Now, thank God, I have matured enough that Wanda and I can give in a much greater abundance than we used to. And I thank God for it. But I'm going to tell you what, I ain't arrived yet. My desire is greater than what I've been able to do. And so I'm always going to be pushing ahead in it. Always pushing ahead after something, after some more. And I want you to do that. Look at the fact that is in this day and time. You know, don't let the economy of this world and the things that are going on become, you know, your target of how things, you know, are going to work in your life. You begin to sit and talk about your future. Begin to speak. Act like it's true. Stay happy. Like I said this morning, listen to this thing. You know, to what people are doing out here, sinners are doing, and what's going on in our nation. It'll destroy your faith if you get too tied up looking at that stuff. You got to watch yourself, because you got to, it's number one, your faith is not going to work. You know, your giver, Jesus, you know, God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, your giving ain't going to do any good when you're sitting and looking and saying, oh man, things are falling apart. Maybe I ought to keep this. I don't know if I ought to give that, because maybe I might need it. You know, do you see how bad things are turning? And you start getting into that, your faith ain't going to work in those areas, in the areas of giving. It's not going to. You have to keep yourself over in the Word of God, following. Listen to your own heart. Listen to your own hearts in the areas of giving and things. Listen to your own heart. Follow God's plan. Wanda and I have learned to do that. We follow God's plan in the areas of giving. You know, there's ministries that God has specifically put on our hearts and wants to give to in certain things. And there's other ministries that are absolutely wonderful. They're good, but I don't sense to give to them. I don't sense we're supposed to. I don't my heart. You know, somebody else might, and they're giving to them. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, if we all just gave one ministry, there wouldn't be any others out there, would there? But God, we need to understand these things. Follow what's in your heart to do for your success and your giving. You always want to do that. Follow those things. This sweet woman here, she turned around and she did what the Word of God said. She reached out and touched the hem of His garment and she was healed. She acted on the Word of God. She said it. She went and did it. She went down there and touched Jesus. Now, the next step, Jesus said, is to receive it. And it said this, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. In other words, she received it, and that's really a hugely important part. It says, and Jesus immediately, in verse 30, says, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? So this woman went in there, she touched him. Now, I want you to see this, because we know this. She activated the power of God. She did. She activated it. We don't find that nobody else activated it. She activated it. She received it. When she went up there and touched him, you need to know, receiving is not something mental. It's in your spirit. Receive it. Now, you know, and I've talked about this before, but you need to understand this. I can have the anointing on me to lay hands on the people for healing. I've had people already, they can feel the power of God on them. But when the anointing is on me, there's different times. Sometimes I minister just by faith. There's not an anointing there. I just by faith, we can do that just as well. I've seen just as many wonderful things happen by faith as I've did already with the anointing on me. I've seen as many one. In fact, the greatest miracle I ever saw that happened through was me as ministering happened to a guy who was really a baby Christian. And I've told the story. He had his back, his back was what they call welded together, his vertebrae, and he had a rod in his back. And they told him he wasn't allowed to lift over 5 pounds. The guy couldn't bend over, he couldn't pick up things and stuff like that. And he came up after church. It was interesting because the healing anointing was on me during church service, and I had prayed for the sick. Well, then healing anointing lifted off of me, and the service was over, and he came up after the service and asked me if I'd pray for him. And I said, I'll pray for you. So I said, I wish it came up before. The anointing was on me, but I said, we're going to pray by faith. I said, faith works. And so I just shared a few things with him because I knew he was young in the Lord. And I just shared, I said, I'm going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray by faith. And we prayed just by faith for him. And don't seem nothing even happened. Didn't seem nothing took place. And so he went home from church and I went home from church. 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I still remember. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I get a call from this guy. This guy goes, I got to tell you what happened. He said, I came home and he said, he didn't feel anything or anything like that. He said, I don't remember what exactly the object he had, but something dropped out of his hand on the floor. Now, normally, he can't bend down to pick it. He's not allowed to bend down and pick it up. They tell him, you know, try that stuff. He fell on the floor, and he said, I don't know why, but he said, all of a sudden, I realized it's in my hand. He said, I bent over and picked that up. And he said, I started moving around. He said, I moved around. He ended up going back to the doctor. He didn't have any welded vertebrae anymore, and there wasn't no metal rod there anymore. It was gone. That's just praying by faith. That's pretty remarkable. that's a pretty downright good thing. And I helped him later on move furniture and stuff. They were moving, him and his wife were moving to another place, and I helped him move furniture. He's picking furniture up. So I mean that was just praying by faith. But when the anointing's there, I can tell something when the anointing. I can tell if the anointing flows out of me or not. I can tell. And you know what? I've had people tell me I could feel the anointing, but I know this, it ain't flowing. The anointing's there, but they're not receiving it. They're not receiving it. They're not in their... See, this is a spiritual thing. It's divine healing is spiritual, not physical. Doctors do physical healing. God don't. God's healing power is spiritual, not physical. It will manifest into the realm of the physical to cause things to happen. But when the anointing's on me, that anointing is spiritual. It is not physical. It's not physical power. Even though it may manifest in the physical and people may feel it or something like that, it's still spiritual power. It's to be put into your spirit. Healing comes from the divine healing is spiritual. Jesus Christ told Kenneth E. Hagin, he said divine healing is without any aid from a doctor or any physical thing, no physical. He said, that's divine healing. He said, if people go to the doctor, you pray for them. I want to help them, and you pray for them for a quick recovery. And I've told you guys before, that's one of the reasons why we have such a mix-up out here, because they're praying for divine healing for people who can't believe for divine healing. I could have had great success with people praying for people who went to the doctor, praying for a quick recovery, and have seen it time and time again. But what they do is, I want divine healing, but I'm going to do all the natural stuff. If we hook up right with the Word, we'll get blessed. God's holding it. God said to Kenneth E. Hagin, people go to the doctor, I want to help them, I want to bless them. He said, that's what I want to do. I want to help them, I want to bless them. So he said, here's what to do for them. And he told them to pray for them, and he said, pray that they'd have a quick recovery. And man, I've seen that thing work. I've seen it work. I've seen really miraculous things happen in hospitals just praying for quick recoveries for people. See, miraculous stuff. See, God wants to get involved in it. Just because a person couldn't believe for divine healing, God didn't throw them out. Hallelujah. Ain't that good? But we need to know this. It's good to learn about divine healing and how to get it work. It's hardly even taught. Divine healing is hardly even taught today, the subject. They call it divine healing, but it's not. They don't know how to teach it because they only know how to teach it with doctors. That's why out in Tulsa there, that's why things didn't work out there with the City of Faith. That's why those things didn't work. It removed really divine healing. They weren't doing it there together. Well, let's get all over and we're going to get the doctors and God together. Hey, God was doing good before the doctors ever got there. And see, people get over in there. We're trying to get people to hook up with God, not hook up with a doctor. Anybody, sinners hook up with doctors all the time and do just as well as Christians do lots of times. And recovery, because Christians don't know how to use faith. Faith's about hooking up with God. It's about how to hook up with God. And you want to do that. Learn how to hook up with God. You know, we need to understand this about the power of God. And let me say this. We deal with the areas of radiation. Like, you know, we go out here, say, with nuclear power, there's radiation. Just because we feel something or don't feel anything doesn't mean something doesn't exist. Power, understand this. Power is always available. That's another thing that Jesus Christ told Kenneth E. Hagin. He said the power, he talked about whether it was healing power or whatever it was, the power of God is always present. Always present. Now, how many this morning, right now, you feel the power of God? I don't. I don't feel the power of God. Now, there's an anointing on me, and I can tell it, but it's not. There's a difference between the power of God that manifests things. I don't feel it at all, yet it's present. It is present at all times. See, this is where you get Christians trying to pray through. They're trying to get to a God out there. It's too late. He moved in. He's inside of me. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to get to a God out there somewhere. I got a God inside. Hallelujah. And it's hooking up. Understand, the power of God is around us. That's why Jesus said people have to write their own ticket. The reason we write our own ticket, we determine whether the power's loosed or not. See, the power radiation is out here, would be out here. If we had something released nuclear radiation, whether you felt it or not, it's out here. It's power. You know, we have power. You know, there's the same electric that runs these lights sometimes electrocutes and kills people. But we determine its usage. See, you can do this. You don't want this stuff to get out of hand. You don't want this stuff to get out of hand where like electric would get out of hand, you know, and turn around and start arcing through here or something. You wouldn't want that. But if we want it, we turn light switches on, we turn them off. We determine the power being turned on and off. And you need to understand that's what your faith does in the realm of the Spirit. That's why we're teaching these things. Our faith is turning things off to the unseen. Faith is an unseen realm. If you're trapped in the area of the seen and you're looking at the seen, if you're looking at your body, the problem with your body in the seen, and you keep looking at it, it'll keep you from faith. Faith doesn't have to do with what you see. It's what you believe, what the Word of God says. God says His power is present. It's always present. That woman walked down there. She knew that the power of God was present. She believed in it being present right there at that place. You know, we went on to read. He said, the disciples in Mark 5, verse 41, says, the disciples, when Jesus said, well, who touched my clothes? The disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? You see that? Now just thinking, I'll guarantee you. He didn't say there was a crowd of people. There's this multitude of people. They're all around him. There's a multitude. They're pushing on him. The disciples think it's strange that he said, who touched you? Why? People are touching him the whole time. We don't have anybody else. Now, let me say, not one other person in the crowd's getting healed. Not one person. Not one. Is the power of God present to heal? Remember the story in the scriptures, the man, they come and dropped him down through the roof? Starts off in the book of Luke and says this, the power of God was present to heal, yet nobody's getting healed. There's only one guy turns around and gets healed. There's only one has released, has thrown the switch. Well, really, it's more than one. These guys came together in their faith. And Jesus said, he saw their faith. He saw their faith. Faith is seeable. You can see. See, he saw their faith. The power of God was present. They activated it. Understand this. You will activate the power of God however your faith is and whatever you want. If you'll look this in scriptures, it's one of the things. When you go and read the Gospels, it'll have individuals that are in there. It'll talk specifically about individuals and their faith to be healed. You look at those. Every one of those people got healed by the way they set their faith. Every one of them. Every one of them. Their faith determined their destiny. The rich man and his servant, he comes along and he says to Jesus, you don't even have to come to my house. You just say the word, be healed. He got it just like he said. This woman believed that she had to go down and touch his garment to get healed. You know, whatever way you can believe to do it, do it. I'm just telling you, get on with it. Whatever way you believe you can do it, get on and do it. But you're going to determine by your voice how it's going to happen. If you believe, you know, there's people say, well, if I go to a Benny Hinn meeting, I can get there. I believe I can get healed. Well, then you go there. Well, you know what? I learned this. I don't have to. You wouldn't have to. I could believe just what the Word of God says and get the healing. You can do it that way. But see, we determine that. See, all these people running around here, God determines. God, no, he ain't. You're writing your ticket. You write your ticket. You determine how you're going to receive it. Now, there's one thing. If I was having trouble on my own to do it, I would go to somebody else that got something and get them to help me, get to join together with somebody who has something. That would be a smart thing to do. If somebody else, you know, and especially if you go to a Benny Hinn meeting, I mean, the healing anointing is in manifestation there. And that healing anointing is in manifestation. It would be good if you were having trouble in the areas of your faith. Get to a meeting where it's in manifestation. There'd be a good chance you might get something. There's a good chance you might get blessed. And so you'd want to do that. And so however you have to use your faith, you need to know that. You know, some people say, well, you know, God said to do this. God, and so they did it. So what they do, they write a book and tell everybody, you all got to do it like I did it. No, you're going to determine. And in the scriptures, these people determined what God did. But this woman out here, she touched him. And it goes on to say in Mark in verse 32, he said he looked around to see her who had done this thing. It says, the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And here we go. It says, tell it. Tell it. In other words, Jesus said, tell it. In other words, we should be telling people the things that we believe God for and He did for us. Folks, one of the greatest things that ever helped me in my young Christian walk was the fact of listening to Kenneth Hagin sit and tell stories of how God's power worked and the things that it did. Listening to those testimonies over and over again of things, and even other people who believe God. That was one of the great successes with the Full Gospel Businessmen, was the fact of people telling what God had done for people. Look what God did for me. This was my life, and now this is my life. Here it is. And telling people about it. Telling people. Now, you're going to have people around and they don't want to hear it. I don't care if people want to hear it or not. I'm going to tell them God's good and what He did for me, whether people ever want to hear it or not. We get so cautious around people whether they're going to like it or not. You know, they might get fussy about it, but I'll tell you one thing. People would like something to work once in a while. Hallelujah. And so, you know, it's one of the things that I've learned in telling stories of how God works. I tell stories of how God has worked through me and what He's done. Well, this is what God does. And, you know, if you learn to listen to these things, it's like with me. I used to listen to Kenneth Hagin's stories, and I'd put into practice things that he did. And I found out, my God, it works. You go do these things, and you walk in this, and this works. You do this, and it works. And so learn to do that. Tell people. You don't know how people out here, I mean, today, is there a lot of great, great news out there going on? You know, you go out there and you turn the TV on, and it make you want to puke. I mean, I never watch the news on television. I never watch it on television. You know, my words, I can tell bad stories without listening to them. My God, I could think up a bad things to tell, but I don't listen to them. I don't listen to somebody. I'm not interested in their opinions on their stuff. I'm not interested in it at all. All it'll do is make you want to get up and say, "Oh my God, what?" And but see, people need to hear something good. And when you tell people the things that God did for you, I've heard people sometimes criticize people about it. Well, they always talk about what God did back then. But there's, you know, and that's, there's nothing wrong with that. God always told Israel to remember their past and what God had done for them. It's one of the things that has really helped me as a Christian. And I've said times, sometimes you get into a place of your faith, and man, you're really pushing and struggling concerning your faith. I mean, you're up against some stuff, and you're there. It's one of the greatest things I do is sit and remember, you know, when I went through this, is God did this for me. And I stood for this, and God did that. And I'll tell you, that inspires me to believe God. God did it for me here. He worked it out here. He's going to do that here. See, you get rid of discouragement. And so learn to tell it, not just for yourself, but it will help you. But it'll help others. There's people around you need to hear the good news. I want you to see something in closing that Jesus said to her. He said, and he said to her, daughter, verse 34, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. He told her what? He didn't say, I healed you. He said, your faith did this. You know, it would have been different if Jesus would have had it been ministering under a healing anointing. This wasn't ministering under a healing anointing to people. He's walking down through. You know, sometimes you see it, Jesus, he was ministering to people and said they were all healed, everybody. He was ministering under anointing. That wasn't by the faith stuff. That wasn't by somebody coming up and believing and touching him. Here he is walking down through. He's just Mr. Godly guy walking down through, anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he's walking down through. And a lady comes up by faith and gets her disease electrocuted right out of her. Hallelujah. And gets completely well. Why? And he says, daughter, you know what happened? Your faith made you whole. Your faith did this thing. Your faith made this thing work. The fact that Jesus used her as the example and gives us the one that her faith. I'm going to tell you, your faith in God will do the same things that her faith in God did. Will do the same things for you. And that's what you want to get over the fact. Don't look at these people. These people weren't special. They're like you. You know, they're like you are. Hallelujah. And this is one thing I've always decided. If some lady could have, you know, one sermon preached to her and go get healed, then I can believe and be healed. I would be embarrassed to not be able to. I don't need 47 sermons to do it. See, this whole idea we have today, we get this idea in our minds. Well, you know, if I just sit and listen, and I just, what we do is we get over in the areas, after a while you're sitting in the areas of works. You're trying to make this thing, you're trying to, oh, if I can get it. Hey, you either believe what's said or you don't. Get yourself over to there. Talk about yourself. It's one thing as I always say, I'm quick to believe. I'm quick to believe. Hallelujah. I don't care if it seems like I'm struggling to believe. I will not say anything different. I'm quick to believe. Hallelujah. I believe what the Bible says. The Word says is true. So you get over there saying the right things, speaking the right things, keeping yourself over there. Just like with this lady. She heard a sermon. She heard somebody say, give a testimony, what Jesus did. She went down there. She made a connection. Well, I touch his garment, I'll get healed too. She didn't say, oh, all those nice special people down there that God healed. She said, no, if I can get down there and I can touch his garment, I can get healed too. I can get it. And what'd she do? She sat at home and said, now if I only get somebody to take me down there, and if I can only, you know, do this, if I can, no, she said, she went right down there. She went through the crowd. It couldn't have been an easy thing to do, even, you know, from her having a condition, just pushing through a crowd. Have you ever been? You know, we need to understand it's a little bit different in, you go into the Middle East areas. Is a little different in crowds. They are not, they don't live like Americans. When they have a crowd, it's the most unorganized thing you ever see in your life. You know, as over in India, you get crowds come out. Crowds, they are not used to having crowds in any organization. Their crowds are just mass bodies moving all over the place. Everybody doing their thing. Whatever it be. And that's the way they run. We think about it here in America. This woman would not have been easy for her. She's moving through a multitude of people. She has to push through together. She didn't quit. She probably wasn't always so polite to everybody. She said, she's making her way. She's getting healed. You know, Jesus said the violent take it by force. That's why many people never get nothing. They ain't got any initiative to get nothing. They're waiting for it to come and drop on them. Well, I found out a long time ago that don't work. If you're waiting for it to come and fall on you, that don't work. Hallelujah. She had something. If that lady could push through the crowd, and there's, again, I mean, this is a woman. That was definitely a woman in a man's world. And I will guarantee you this, the majority of the people probably in that crowd around Jesus were men. I guarantee it was. Women were limited in what, you know, it isn't like today. You know, you go out there and get right in the crowd and go around. Wasn't like that. Hallelujah. She was after something and she was getting it. No matter who got mad about it, no, she's after it. Hallelujah. Go after it. You can believe God. It'll work for you. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. I just want to say here this morning, because we're talking about healing, anybody wants hands laid on them this morning for healing? It's number one, you're preaching about it. See, faith level gets up good. Even in all of us, we sit down and regard faith. God will do something. Ha ha. And that's where we want to be. We're believing God will do something. But if anybody needs prayer for healing, we'll lay hands on. Hallelujah. The Bible says if two agree, I'm going to think of the power of that. If two agree is by touching anything they ask, it shall be done to them. And my Father which is in heaven.